Marshall Becker was a respected anthropologist from Westchester University who was well known to historians in our region. Dr. Becker was deeply interested in Eastern Pennsylvania history, and he explored his person-centered questions in articles like Search for the Lenape Indians in the journal Archaeology in 1982. Becker begins the piece by writing, "The story of the Lenape Indians is a poignant one," and he goes on to explain the historical record of the Lenape people comes almost completely from documents dating to after 1740. That would be by the time most of the Lenape people had left their lands forever and had either been absorbed into the fringes of colonial culture or been displaced as an indigenous culture, having to move west, as we'll learn. The visual arts are very significant in the search Dr. Becker undertakes, and he turns to two portraits he describes, saying, "It is a pair of oil paintings of Lenape elders done by Swedish-born painter named Gustavus Hazelius, who completed them in 1735. Hazelius noted, as he was, as an organ maker, but he was also acknowledged as one of the first major portrait painters in America. The story of the two Lenape Indian paintings is complicated. They were executed by Hazelius several years after he had returned to Philadelphia from 20 years of residence in Maryland. These works may have been commissioned by John Penn, one of William Penn's sons. Penn's journals and cash books contain an entry dated June 1735, indicating the payment of £16 to Hazelius and designating him as the Swedish painter. Housed in the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, the paintings were brought back from England to the United States by Granville Penn and presented to the Society in 1834. Nearly a century after Hazelius had completed this pair of portraits of two Lenape chiefs, named Lapawinzo and Tashukaman, the American frontier had reached the Great Plains, and that began to bring attention to the diverse Indian cultures there. About 20 editions of these portraits, lithographs of them, were issued by various publishing houses, including ones with as few as 80 or as many as 120 different pictures. One edition with an illegible date notes that the portraits were copied from originals in the Smithsonian Institution Gallery, destroyed by fire in the 1860s. Fortunately, the original portraits survive, providing a relatively good idea of how they dressed and what tools these two elders used. These portraits are probably the earliest formal oil portraits of known Native Americans. The name Lapawinza, variously spelled, can be translated as gathering fruit or going away to gather food. He's depicted as a man about 45 to 50 years old, wearing a rich, dark blue-dyed blanket over his left shoulder. His hair is full and reaches his shoulders. There is a series of two design sets of tattoos that are on his forehead, the right side different from the left. On his left cheek, extending out from the corner of his mouth, is a pair of broad tattoos. Two necklace-like designs encircle his throat. Besides the blanket, whose deep blue color may be an artistic convention, Lapawinza wears a pouch suspended from his neck on a long leather thong. The pouch rests on his chest and is similar to one worn by Tashukaman. Tashukaman derived from the Lenape meaning he never blackens himself. Perhaps a reference to the Lenape mourning ritual, appears to be slightly younger. He's depicted in a similar blue blanket worn over his right shoulder, suggesting that these two paintings were meant to be a pair. Although Tashukaman has a full head of hair worn shoulder length, as does his kinsman, he has only a single tattoo on his right cheek at the corner of his mouth. The bag which he wears, suspended from his neck, appears to be made of an intact squirrel skin, including part of the tail. In the bag is a European kaolin pipe of a shape common around 1725. That from an essay titled Search for the Lenape Indians by Dr. Marshall Becker, who, in his search, turned to representations of two Lenape chiefs, portraits by a Swedish painter who's given some credit by scholars Saunders and Miles for, in their words, portraying Tishukamen with an objectivity that distinguishes the painting from many of the portraits painted in the 1730s in the American colonies, in which artists sought to portray their sitters according to current European standards of beauty, grace, and elegance. You can probably see where we're heading. As well-intentioned as the scholars and the artist may have been, their search is fundamentally different from the quest we'll soon learn about, a search that involves the visual arts and questions that come from deep in the heart. They are questions and art by Native American Ben Scott Miller, who is a registered citizen of the Delaware Tribe of Indians in Oklahoma, a federally recognized tribe of the Lenape. And he has been commissioned by the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department and Scranton Tomorrow to create a full-size mural honoring the indigenous Lenape people who first settled the Lackawanna Valley. The mural is titled Remembrance and Continuance, the Lenape Story in Scranton, and it will be dedicated tomorrow, August 1st, with a formal celebration. We'll soon learn how coming to this place, Scranton, a place of his ancestral roots, and bringing forth from his heart and soul these striking images has been a personal journey for Ben, but also and always an experience for his people, of his people. And somehow he hopes that this mural can be a bridge between two cultures. In anticipation of the dedication, Maureen McGuigan, Director of Arts and Culture for Lackawanna County, and artist Ben Scott Miller, paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk about the project.
The mural scene in Scranton has evolved, I would say, in the past few years with the development of the Scranton Tomorrow Mural Arts Program, chaired by Rose Randazzo, who's just amazing. She had project managed a lot of the murals which are in Pittston, which have really transformed that town. So she lives in Scranton, so she wanted to come back and start mural process in Scranton. So it was a natural fit with Scranton Tomorrow because they do a lot of community revitalization. So the past few years, they just started with a Martin Luther King mural during COVID. We had some special grants, and we gave a grant to do that. We're really trying to diversify and tell the story of Scranton. Of course, we're very proud of our coal mining heritage, but there's other stories to be told. So we now have a Scranton Jazz mural that we partnered with Scranton Tomorrow Mural Arts on. We also did a large mural, the county managed this, coming into the city of Scranton, which is a 12,000 square foot mural. What I like about that one, that was with an artist from LA, John Park. It has the history, but it also has contemporary things like the Jazz Festival and the Scranton Half Marathon. And working with Eric Bussert, one of our great local murals, he did the jazz mural and is working on one that he got some county funding for that will tell the story of the famous elephant that was at the Naog Zoo. So again, I think, and it's really become Scranton, people have noticed, it's an open-air museum. That's how murals are often described. It's a way for people to encounter art in an accessible, comfortable, casual manner. And then it's amazing how people stop and they want to know the history. So many of the murals have a kiosk with a QR code so you can hear about that story.
Either one of you can tell the story about this project and how you decided that this would be next.
I'll tell a little bit about the background because I love when one project inspires another project. So this really began when the University of Scranton received a National Endowment for the Humanities grant called A More Perfect Union, and we developed a project. The county was a big partner on that. We developed a project called Scranton Stories, Our Nation Stories. So it was looking at the history of the nation through the lens of Scranton, because it was kind of upcoming with America's birthday next year. So it was great. We had so many themes. You know, obviously we had industry and immigration, but one of the sections was on the indigenous history that was here, the Lenape people, who were the original people here. And what we found out was nobody really, they sort of knew. Some people didn't know at all. And again, I don't want to say that's anyone's fault. I don't think that it has been taught. There's not a lot of things commemorating the Lenape people, also known as the Delaware. To me, this was eye-opening. We had Curtis Zuniga, the founder and co-director of the Lenape Center, as our consultant who came in, and he just was eye-opening. And the community was really hungry to learn more, because the thing that Curtis really taught me is that many people think the story is past. They don't realize that the tribe is thriving and doing a lot of things today. And we started talking about, how do we reconnect? Because of forced removal, you know, people are in Oklahoma and Canada. So this mural, for me, I thought, we have the gift of this money. We're very blessed. And as an action we could take, why not start with a mural and give a large space to tell that story? And hopefully our goal, I won't even say hopefully because it will happen, we're going to do more programs. And through Curtis, we met Ben Scott Miller. It was really important to us to give total creative control to the tribe and have a Native artist. However, the mural was so big, we felt we needed two artists. So again, we said, Ben, you can pick whoever you want to work with. And we ended up with an internationally famous Spanish artist, Belin, who came to Scranton. So it became a global project.
Have you worked with him before?
I haven't necessarily worked with him. I went out to Europe and lived there for 4 years while I was going to college at the Academy Art University. I was studying online. It was a study abroad. So I went out to Spain, and that's where I met the gentleman. I met Belin. And he had this house, Casa Pintada. It was up in the hills of Linares. And it's a very small blue-collar town, just like Scranton. And it had faces painted all over, all around it. And it was just colorful, like you'll see in the mural when you walk downtown Scranton. And I got to meet him, and he inspired me. He inspired me creatively. He helped me set a direction. So, you know, it was great to be able to bring him back after 15 years and work with me. I went from a student to now educated, and, you know, it's amazing.
And what did you know when you were approached by Maureen and the team here in Scranton? Did you know much about this area, Scranton, where the roots are so strong?
So, no, not Scranton per se, the city itself. I just finished off a mural at Westchester University for the Sykes Union Center, and Curtis gave me a call and said, hey, look, there's this project up here in Scranton. Would you like to talk to everybody? I said yes. If there's an opportunity for me to get the identity of the Delaware, the Lenape people out there in the public and reintroduce ourselves, I'm going to take that opportunity. So I got to meet Maureen, and it was 2 years.
Two years ago.
Yeah. 2 years in the making, where we're building this relationship, trying to figure out what direction we want to go, what wall we want to use, how we want to handle this. And it just evolved. You know, when things happen naturally, especially artistically, creatively, it's meant to be. And I felt this was the right thing to do.
What questions should you ask yourself about what you should do, what stories you should tell, or story you should tell in this mural?
This is my journey. This is not only, I'm not just an artist that's coming in and painting on a wall about something. This is my journey. This is my reconnection with my roots. As if you would go home to your home country and how you feel like you belong there. Things smell similar. The sounds, the connection, the water, you just feel like you belong there. And to be able to come home, and this is our home, to be able to come home and really just walk near the river and walk on these trails and check out these trees and understand that my ancestors have been here for tens of thousands of years, and we're buried underneath these buildings and in these hills, and there's that connection's a lot deeper than just coming as an artist, you know.
What did you learn as you were young, Ben, growing up with stories about your ancestors and your history in the East?
It's difficult because we're the most removed tribe in the United States of America. We were the first tribe to sign the treaty with the United States of America. That famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware River in the midst of a winter night is because he asked the Delaware people to cross that river. In order to do that, you know, we allowed him, our ancestors allowed him to cross the river, and we signed a treaty in 1778. Treaty of Fort Pitt, recognizing us as, you know, our own state and seat in Congress. So 250 years later, we're still here, and you know, we're the most removed. So a lot of the information that we have gotten from my family and our ancestors has been erased. It's difficult. We're relearning our roots, and it's bittersweet, and I feel this is a first step to reconnect with the communities out here.
And Maureen, what kind of a reaction did you have when you saw Ben's concept?
Well, I loved the vision of the, and Ben can talk about this more, but the ceremonial dancers is so important. And we had some good conversations about how all cultures have dance. I took Irish step dancing when I grew up. So I think that's just a really nice image that connects people to, and water, you know, here we, Pennsylvania has such beautiful rivers and lakes, and that was very important to include. And of course, the creation story. So what I love is there's these three central themes on this large wall, and it just all comes together. So myself and Rose from and Scranton to Mural Arts, we all loved it, and it evolved. Baylin, the other artist, tends to come in with the idea and then magically, he's amazing to watch, magically change it free-handedly. So the idea evolved, but I think it's even more beautiful.
So in a sense, when you talk about the creation story of all of us and your sure. people, but it's also, as you say, it's part of your journey, right? So you're in realizing this and creating this image of the creation. It's part of your journey of creating yourself in the context of your history.
Yeah, it comes with all layers. So not only if I'm finding myself coming out here as a Lenape man, I'm reconnecting with my roots. But I wanted to connect with the community out here. So my vision was to find some way to be able to connect our communities together, find some similarities, because there's so much rhetoric and there's so much division amongst us right now as a society, as Americans. And I really feel we need to get back to the roots of who we are and appreciating who we are as different cultures and understanding that we do have some similarities. So we chose the two dancers. I have a male dancer and I have a female dancer. Those are usually our powwow dancers that we come out when we'll dance for our people. It's a social dance. And the reason why I chose these is because we as Native Americans weren't allowed to celebrate our history or our culture until 1956. It was illegal for us to do so. We were kept on reservations and we were not allowed to share our culture or connect. That was vitally important to share that image because we had to do it underground. We had to hide it from the Indian agency, which we call Bureau of Indian, BIA right now. And then I researched some more. So when I traveled into Europe and I've realized that every culture, whether you're of German descent or French descent or Spanish descent, Afrikaans, the geishas in Japan, we all have really deep roots of dance and social dance, and it's beautiful. There's things that we've taken from the Dutch that we use for a regalia, and those are the flower patterns, and the Dutch brought them over here. So when the Dutch and the Swiss came over here to begin with, they needed furs. So we traded furs for their fabric, and on that fabric there were patterns of flowers that they've had from way back then. So we've kind of adopted those. And I wanted to show that other than the rhetoric and the politics, we are all still human. We all work in this big bubble, and we all have to learn to work together and understand and appreciate one another. So that was very important.
Creating a mural with large images, it's not like working in a small painting kind of way. Are you able to suggest movement in these dancers?
I think Baleen hit it on the button. So Baleen's style that he has been accustomed to is very Picasso-esque. So you have these features and faces that have two different angles. It almost feels like that you're watching them. So as you walk down the mural, you can get another glimpse of a different angle of the facial patterns, yes.
Yes, I would agree with that. The mural really feels like it's alive, and the colors help too. Just like he said, a magic about it. And the hyperrealism is amazing. We had people walking through. What was great about this project is people could see the art in action. It's in a very prominent place in downtown Scranton on North Washington Avenue. So I just was amazed how people really got it and loved it. So, and the hyperrealism, they couldn't believe how real the eyes look on the dancers, for example.
In addition to choosing colors that work together or create contrast for movement purposes, are there colors that are symbolic in a sense to you and your people? Is there meaning to the color choice?
Yes. Yes. So our purple that I put up represents our wampum. Our wampum is specifically for gifts and to tell our story. You know, art is the beginning of communication. Before we developed the language, we had hieroglyphics, and we spoke to one another through art. So I chose specific colors to remind us of where we've come from. And I chose some of the purples because they represent the wampum shells that we used, that we made the wampum belt for William Penn in our 1682 treaty. And the black and red is specifically for my tribe. It's the Minsink mask. And the Minsink mask is a spiritual being out here in Lenapeoking, Pennsylvania, where we'd pray 12 nights, we'd pray to the Minsink mask, and that would protect all the animals and plants that live out here in Pennsylvania and Lenapeoking. So, yes, some of these colors.
I sensed it right away when you were describing your approach to the mural, Ben. It's a real responsibility because you're telling the story of your people, and you want to make sure that when you have this opportunity, that what you say has the maximum impact and can be lasting for us who behold it. That's a larger responsibility than just painting a mural because you were hired to.
Yeah, I have to connect to this. This is my heart. This is my love. And I put my heart out there for the city of Scranton. And I wanted to show the people here in Lackawanna County, and I want to show the people here in Pennsylvania that the Delaware is still alive. We're still here. We are still the stewards of these lands. We are still participating. We're flourishing. We've got doctors and lawyers and teachers and moms and dads and cousins and sisters and brothers, and through it all, through everything that we've been through, we're still here. And that's the story that I want to get across.
How have you shared the story of the creation of this mural with your family, your own personal family, but members of your tribal nation?
I constantly reach back to my chief, and I constantly reach back to my elders, and the kids come out. We had the youth come out yesterday, and I wanted to get their feedback. So it's a constant communication. I want to make sure that I'm relaying a message that promotes the Delaware people, but makes our community here in Scranton and Pennsylvania comfortable.
Yeah, I think one of the best things that has come out of this is the friendship building. Ben has introduced me to several different tribes, and I've learned so much. So we're so great that we are able to sponsor them to come. So I am just thrilled that Chief Brad Killscrow of the Delaware Tribe of Indians is making time to come to Scranton. And we also have members of a Canadian tribe, Delaware Nation of Moravian Town in Ontario. So it's, like I said, it's a global project. And I think to Ben's point earlier about divisiveness, I think that the world is more together than we think, and we don't always celebrate that. And there's ways that we can show this connection. And, you know, there were terrible things that happened. And it's not so much to feel guilty or shame about that. Ben and I have talked about this, but it is to acknowledge that and say, how can we build a new story, a positive one that's built in healing and friendship and going forward.
And Ben, when you were little, Ben, did you do arts in school? Did you scribble in your notebooks? Were you interested in art? Did you go places and look at art or get classes? Or were you a musician? What happened when you were little?
Yes. So I'm a unique Lenape. All the Delaware are American. So they have been raised in an American ideology. My dad's a full-blood Delaware. My mom's British. And so I grew up around people like Jackie Broad, my aunt, who is an actress out there in West End, London. I grew up around William Broad. He is my second cousin, which is Billy Idol. And it's really good to be a part of both cultures. And that's why I feel the Creator has put me in this position, because I am a both. And I can build that bridge between the two. So my whole life I've been around art. I've been drawing since I was a baby, and I would doodle and color, and just like all the kids do now, you know? And my passion as a teenager, I started growing more into it. I really wanted to get into acting, but I wanted to go behind the scenes. So I went to the Academy of Art University in San Francisco and got my degree in advertising design. And that's when I realized, you know, this is what I want to do. I love art. I love communicating. I love the visual arts. You know, I love creating something and people appreciate it. And you don't always make everybody happy, but if I'm telling it through my lens and I'm telling it through my heart, that's all that matters.
Have you named or will you name the mural?
Yes, that was one of the first things we started with in our early brainstorming. It is called Remembrance and Continuance, the story of the Lenape in Scranton. So we think that's a great title and kind of captures what we're trying to do.
And that's just what you laid out for us in that way. How will you celebrate on August 1st when it's dedicated?
Well, this is the fun part. You know, I was laughing in the car. It's so beautiful, but there's a lot of paperwork and administration to create beauty, which is all worth it. But then you get to the end where you can all get together, as I said, many people from different places. So on Friday, August 1st, on site at the mural at 130 North Washington Avenue, Scranton, there will be a dedication, and we will have food and music, and, you know, we'll have speakers talking about the mural and other things about the tribe. So we're really excited about that, to bring it's open to the public, so we just hope. It's also Jazz Fest and First Friday, so we hope there's a lot of people downtown who will stop by. It's 5 to 7, and I think it'll be a really nice evening of coming together after a long process.
Now that you've done this and you've spent this time here and you've gotten to know people here, and I love the fact that you're walking the trails and you're smelling the air and the trees and walking along the river and getting to feel like there are roots here that you have. This is just the start, is it? Will you come back?
It's. I know coming into this is not about me. This is about us. And this is about the communities coming together and building a bridge instead of walls. I really do believe that we need to look after one another. And yes, I do plan on coming back and participating in other events, other projects. I really hope that, you know, my chief can meet the mayor and some of the politicians out here so they can sit down and communicate and figure out what they need to do on their end. Again, that's above my pay grade.
We've already been brainstorming about future projects because I love murals, but, you know, once I didn't want this to be one and done. So it's the beginning of, you know, and I'm so happy my Lackawanna County Commissioner supported it, and I know they want to do more programs. I mean, we're talking about maybe a concert next year or bringing the youth here. Curtis's daughter does fashion design with the ribbon skirts, and I think it would be cool to do a fashion show. So I think every year, and that could slowly build into bigger things, and, you know, so I think that's going to happen. Again, we don't know yet and how that will progress, but I think now that we have this trust and relationship, we can do lots of different great things. Like I said, it's been amazing watching people. I don't know a lot of the people walking through the parking lot, how much, you know, connection they have with art, but they literally stop and say it's beautiful. So it brightens your day. It makes you feel good. It is about humanity. And that's why I think arts and humanities is so important and should be part of everyone's lives. That's one of the missions of our department, is to make art equitable and accessible to all.
Maureen, you just used the word beautiful. What about beauty, Ben, in our world?
We have to look at the beauty. There's so many people out there that wants to look at the negative and create division, and I don't believe in that. I really think there's a beautiful side of humanity, and we're too busy worried about so many things that we're forgetting about us just being human and connecting with one another, because we're social animals. That's who we are, and we need to understand that we've got to work together as a tribe. And what a tribe does is we hold ourselves up, we pick ourselves up when we fall, and we support one another. And that's the beauty of humanity, and that's the beauty of life.
Ben Scott Miller, Native American artist, a registered citizen of the Delaware Tribe of Indians in Oklahoma, a federally recognized tribe of the Lenape, and Maureen McGuigan, director of the Department of Arts and Culture for Lackawanna County. They have been speaking about the new mural Ben was commissioned to create, and it's titled Remembrance and Continuance, the Lenape Story in Scranton. And we are invited to the dedication tomorrow, August 1st. Lackawanna County and Scranton tomorrow. Hope we will be there. It will take place from 5 to 7 p.m., 130 North Washington Avenue in Scranton, People's Security Bank and Trust building parking lot. You might know that. There will be music and refreshments, music by Grupo 14K, and refreshments by Northeastern Pennsylvania's first indigenous woman-owned coffee shop, Old Man John's Coffee and Honey House and Empanada King. And that's from 5 to 7, and it's tomorrow. And on hand will be Ben Scott Miller, who is the artist with Belin, Miguel Angel Belinchon. Belin is an internationally recognized mural artist who worked with Ben on creating this mural, finishing, applying the wonderful paint to the building. It's a massive mural, and you are invited. Of course, there is no charge, and it will be a chance for you to see it and speak with the artists, speak with Maureen, Rose, the people from the Scranton Tomorrow Mural Project will all be there, and we hope you'll be able to attend. For more information, on the web, scrantontomorrow.org/muralart, scrantontomorrow.org/muralart. And that's Remembrance and Continuance, the Lenape Story in Scranton by Ben Scott Miller and Baleen, and the dedication tomorrow, Friday, August 1st, 5 to 7 p.m., 130 North Washington Avenue in Scranton, scrantontomorrow.org.